Hello, welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. These messages and ministry is brought to you through the funding of the Wash and Word hand car washing business located in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business, and we do it so that we can continue bringing you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. We believe that God is opening up new doors and in exploration of new ways to get His Word out there, apart from the traditional four walls of the church. And one of the ways that we're doing that is by creating this business for the sole purpose of getting these verse-by-verse Bible teachings out to you. We will not waste a lot of time talking about the business or the ministry because this is a time for verse-by-verse Bible exposition. But if you do want more information, we encourage you to go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, and you can find out all you need to. Well, let's pick it up in verse 4 of chapter 3. Solomon is in the third chapter of his book. Of course, it wasn't chapters then, but in this chapter, we see a pretty big shift in the focus of Solomon's quest thus far. And certainly, this is the most godly-centered focus that he's had leading up to this part of the writing. And so, we looked at the first three verses, and he's going into that famous section in chapter 3 where it says there's a time for everything. And we looked at the first three verses, but looking at chapter 3, verse 4, he goes on. Remember, we're looking at these verses as slices of pie, taking them one little slice at a time, because like a pie, if you eat the whole thing at once, it's going to just make you feel worse than you did as if you were just to enjoy one slice. And so the next slice of this Ecclesiastes pie is verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So he looks, so stop there. He looks at four examples: laughing and weeping, rejoicing and mourning. And when you look at these are basically soul-related activities, spirit-related activities. And what God is telling us here is that they're natural functions, that they occur during natural times, and that none of us are immune to these things happening. There will be times where we weep, times that we laugh, times that we mourn, and times that we dance. Isaiah 53:3 says, speaking of Jesus, he was despised and forsaken of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in this fallen world of wickedness, we can expect times such as these. In these four verses that we've looked at in chapter 3 so far, there's one thing that rings true for the believer, and that is these contrasting truths. For instance, in verse 2, we read a time to be born and a time to die. But Jesus said in John 11:26, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So even though Solomon says there's a time to die, Jesus conversely says you will never die. We looked at also a time to plant and a time to uproot. But look at the end result in Revelation 22:2 says, down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And though Solomon rightfully says that in this earth, this time on earth, there's a time to plant and a time to uproot, contrastly, we see that in heaven, there'll be no planting or uprooting, but just the constant reproduction of fruit from the tree of life. In verse 3, he says there's a time to kill and a time to heal. And yet, in Revelation 22:2, again, it says the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations. And so there won't be a time of killing or a need for healing. Solomon says that there's a time to tear down and a time to build. But again, in contrast to that, Revelation 21:14 says the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There's no building. It's already been done. And here, as we just read in verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. But in Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And guess what, friends? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so there may be a time to weep now, but one day, in contrast to that, we will never weep again. And also in verse 4, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Back to Revelation chapter 5, 13. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the thrones and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And so while there's a time to mourn and a time to dance today, one day we will be singing his praise for all time. So while we look at these times, and we don't want to endure the times to kill and the times to weep and the times to tear down and the times that we die and all this stuff. We don't want to look at that, but in the end, it's all going to be changed and there'll never be seasons like this again. Verse 5 goes on. He says, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. This is a socially related verse. In the ancient Bible times, stones separated lands. They would build these stone walls, and that's how they had their boundaries. And neighbors, sometimes we need to embrace our acquaintances or our neighbors, and other times we kind of want to be left alone or have to do a tough love thing or an intervention to our neighbors and to our friends and people that we know. And so there's a time to scatter these stones where we break down the barriers and we commune with others. And then there's a time to gather them and have that separation. And, you know, again, the examples that we can give are pretty endless, but we're trying to grasp the whole pie by looking at each slice at a time. And part of verse 5, which I didn't read a minute ago, was a time to embrace and a time to reframe and to refrain. And again, that goes with the boundaries with friendships, the socially related relationships that we have. And there are times to bind and bond and be bound, and there are times to separate for other reasons. And verse 6, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Let's stop there. I recently cleaned out my garage, and boy, this verse never came more to life than there is indeed a time to keep and a time to throw away. My wife often jokes how much of a pack rat I am, and sometimes I find it hard to throw things away, but there is a time to keep and a time to throw away. But not just physical things. Sometimes we just have to throw away our bad attitudes, throw away our resentment or our anger. It's time to give them up, as Solomon says in verse 6, a time to throw them away. There's a time to give up and throw away that unforgiveness or that jealousy. Just get rid of it. You ever been looking for something? You know, Solomon says a time to search and a time to give up. You know, I've lost things and I'm like, I knew it was here, and I would look all over for it and search for it. And sometimes I would never find it. And, you know, you have to just give up. That's why I said a time to search and a time to give up. Sometimes we just have to give up. Some people get lost at sea, and, you know, the Coast Guard goes out and searches for them. But at a certain point, there's a time to give up. And Solomon's just trying to give us the realistic approach to some of the harder things about life. Verse 7, he goes on, he says, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. We'll stop there. And, you know, the contrast between tearing and mending, again, I believe it's a social related scripture. You know, sometimes we have to remove ourselves from bad influences or friends that cause us to do things or tempt us to do things we don't want to do or trying to get rid of in our lives. And sometimes not only do we have to tear away from others, but in the social realm of life, and that is in dealing with other people, sometimes we have to mend. We have to go to those who we've hurt or have hurt us and mend those relationships. You know, there are times where, you know, that a time to drop the pride and go and mend it. And then he says there's a time to be silent, and then there's a time to speak. And boy, there is certainly a time to be silent, isn't there? I mean, I look back in my life, and probably the most of the times I've ever gotten in trouble, it had something to do with my mouth. And it hasn't really changed much today, if you just ask my wife. I heard a joke one time. These three pastors were having lunch, and they started sharing with one another. And one of them said, "I gotta confess, my one big sin is I have lustful eyes. I can't stop looking at other women." And the second pastor pipes up and he says, "Yeah, well, if we're confessing," he says, I've got a gambling problem, and I can't seem to get past my gambling temptations." The third one remained quiet, and they both look at him and they say, "Well, what about you? Do you have something to confess?" And he stands up and he says, "Yes, I confess that I'm a gossip and I gotta go." And you know, whatever it is, there's certain times that we should just be quiet, and sometimes we should speak. And if there's ever been a time where we should be speaking, especially the truth, it's in today's culture and in today's society. One of the foundations of my ministry and the reasons that we're doing what we're doing is because I believe that the Bible has taken a back seat to being the most primary mean, the most primary meaning of gathering on Sunday mornings within our churches. And there's a time to speak. And right now we need to be speaking up for the Word of God, getting it back into our churches the way it was meant to be. And again, that's why we do these verse-by-verse Bible teachings, because I believe the church has gone too silent when it comes to preaching all of God's word. And there's no possible way to edify the church or become spiritually stronger by removing the Bible from our churches or from the pews. And so there's a time, as he says, to be silent and a time to speak. And, you know, in regards to the silence, I'd like to just touch on something quick here. There's a lot of gossip going around in our churches. And gossip is such a mouth-watering sin. It is so... everyone wants to hear or be a part of some kind of gossip. I heard it said one time, someone once said, "Some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them." You know, just that modicum of silence and secrecy. But when it comes to the truth, friends, I encourage you, please do not be silent. And verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. In examining that scripture, a time for war and a time for peace, that's pretty self-explanatory. We all know that there is times of both, but there is a time to love and a time to hate. Well, love we certainly can understand, but God says there's a time to hate. Well, that's true. If you did a word search of God hate, you'll see that in Psalm 97:10, it says, "Let those who love the Lord hate evil." And Amos 5:15 says, "Hate evil and love good." So summed up, yes, there is a time to hate, but we are to hate what is evil. But also interesting is I didn't find that in the New Testament. In fact, in the end of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "And I will show you now the most excellent way." And then he goes into the love chapter, chapter 13. And these balances of seasons, they're God-ordained. I remember as a kid going to Disney World and driving those go-karts that had this center rail in the middle. And, you know, as a kid, you know how to drive, but you constantly kept going back and forth. But you'd hit these rails and you'd stay on track. So even though you went to the left or to the right, the rails would kind of keep you in the center area. And these balances that God put in the world keep us from going into chaos. They keep things semi-centered. And in this world, without these contradictory seasons, we would be in trouble. But in the next, all will be good, and God will take care of those things. And so if God has a time for these seasons of life, he also, too, must have a purpose. And this is what we're going to focus on in our next series of messages of Ecclesiastes 3, that there's a purpose for the contrasting seasons. And we will focus on that because without a purpose, it's meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Well, join me again tomorrow or at the radio station or on the website, or come by the Wash and Word as we broadcast these sermons on 107.1 FM. We look forward to hearing from you. If you come by the Wash and Word, let us know you're checking out our website or you're hearing these messages on the radio. And once again, come on by thewashandword.com webpage, and you can find out more about this business and ministry. You have a blessed day.